And we're blessed to have the shoes with us today. Sunday school was a blessing, but now we're going to have the Word of God opened afresh for us. And I hope that you're coming saying, Lord, what decision do you want me to make for your glory this morning? It may be to surrender to full-time Christian service at whatever age you are. It may be how to pray more intelligently for missions. But especially I pray that as the Word of God is opened, that you and I, that all of us, will say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Brother Shue, we're delighted to have you and your sweetheart with us this morning. If you'll come and open the Word of God, please, sir.
Amen. All righty. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to share the Word of God. I pray that we would take it to heart. You know, a pastor made mention of something that we look at as he was talking about surrendering, no matter what age you are. You know, we think of an older folk, a person up in years. We think, what can they do? They can't walk good. They can't see good. What can I do? You know, I'm glad that one thing you can do is pray. And God help us. God help us this morning to be that prayer warrior that God would have us to be. Good to see the crowd here this morning. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to come. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning. I'm going to speak on, as I read, you're probably thinking, Easter is over with. Easter is come and Easter is gone. But you know, I'm not talking about Easter this morning. I know that I'm going to be speaking on the resurrection. And I'm going to be speaking on what the resurrection is. And we see this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And begin reading in verse number 35. It says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. Jump down to verse number 51. It says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on the incorruption, and the mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth unto the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want you to notice the latter part of verse number 58 there. And as it says that, know you that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, I'm thankful this morning that as we labor and as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we may think it's of no avail. We may think it's nothing is accomplished. We may think that, what can we do? But you know, I like what it says there, that it says it's not in vain. And the Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful this morning that, hey, because I get to serve the Lord, I get to maybe not see the results today, but I can see them one day. And you know, as I think about that, I think of I know here in the area, I've noticed a lot of people are planting. They're planting their garden and they're getting the fruit. They're getting the vegetables, I should say, from the garden. You know, as I think about that, I think of our lives. You know, folk, I'm glad that God calls some of us as we plant the seed. And you know, as we plant that seed, you know, there's times that we may not see a result. We may not see anything from that garden. Maybe as we're in the apartment down here, and I'd like to say thank you for the place to stay. A great place to stay, a great place to relax, a great place just to be able to be there. And you know, as we're there every morning, we wake up and the sun begins to shine through the door or through the windows. But you know, I think about as I'm laying there, I hear the old crows out there. And you know, as them old crows, as they're calling and as they're making their noise, you know, I think about that corn that was just planted. I think about that corn that had just begun to pop through the soil. And I think about that old crow, he comes along and what does he do? He steals the fruit. He goes down and he gets it. You know, folks, that's the way the old devil is today. The old devil comes along and he tries to take us. And he tries to get the new Christians and he tries to get them to where, hey, there's no use. There's no use to serve the Lord. There's no use in living for the Lord because I've got you. But you know, I'm thankful this morning that, hey, the old devil may think he has us. The old devil may think that he is trying to take us over, but I'm glad that there's a God. I'm glad there's a God in the scripture here this morning as the scripture is talking about the glorious resurrection. And as we think about that, we think about the resurrection this morning. We see in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 2, and it says that he is propitiation for our sin, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. I see this morning, I see that as I think about that, I think of as he takes the payment, as he took our payment and he took the place for us. He took our place upon the cross. He took our place there as we serve him. But you know, as we think about that, we think this morning in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 10, it says, he that descendeth is at the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We see that Christ, he ascended to heaven as he was ascended there, as he went, and I'm thankful this morning because of the cross, because of the resurrection, because of him, that he takes my place. In Hebrew, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We see this morning, as I think about the Lord Jesus Christ, as he is in Hebrews there, as it talks about, he is the high priest. He is the one. And you know, as I think of the tabernacle, I read something this past week, talking about back in the 15, I can't remember the date, 1560 something, I think it was William Tisdale, as he came in and as he was going to translate the Bible into the English language. And you know what took place? As they took Tisdale and as they burned him at the stake. But you know, as I heard what Tisdale said, he said that as he was hanging there, they said that he cried out whenever he was there. And his last words was, God speak to the kings. And you know, as I think about that, I think about as in 1560 something to where 1611, as the King James Bible was written at that time. You know, folks, this morning as we think of listening to God, letting God have control, letting God have our life, that he may not answer today. He may not answer tomorrow, but God's always on time. God's always on time, and as he brings to pass what God done and how God allowed the king to be able to understand how that God allowed the king as they took and as they wrote the King James Bible. But you know, as we see this morning, we see some importance of the resurrection. As we think of the importance of the resurrection, we see that if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, our word would be in vain. But you know, we see this morning, we asked the question, what am I doing this morning for serving the Lord? What am I doing? Am I a waster of time? Am I a waster in this world? As I try to preach the word of God, as I try to proclaim the word of God, I'm glad this morning that, hey, I can take this book and I can preach it. I'm glad that no matter if it's in English or what little bit of Spanish I know, that we can try to preach it to the world. And you know, as we think about that, the resurrection, it is important. The resurrection, the word of God is not in vain. It is the word of God. But we see, first of all, because of the word of God is not in vain, but also we see that if Christ be not risen, then our faith is not in vain. You know, we see here that we think of faith. What is faith? As I think of that simple word faith, as I look at that, I think of our trust. Not in just something, but in someone. And you know, as I think of that this morning, I think of our faith as we have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, folks, when was the last time we just gave something to God and by faith let him have it? I know that there's many a times we come and we say, okay, God, I want to give this to you. God, I want to give this to you. But what do? We give it to God, but when we get up, we take it back with us. But you know, I'm thankful this morning that by faith we can give our cares, we can give our wants, we can give what we have to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can give to him because of the resurrection, because of him being risen. We see that I'm thankful that it is not just a fairy tale. Because of Christ's resurrection from the cross, it is not just a story. It is the word of God. It is the truth. And by faith, we believe that. But you know, we see that as we think of if Christ be not risen, then we what? We're still in our sins. But we thankful this morning that Christ is alive. He is alive. But we see in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope and the calling, and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the faith. We see that here this morning, we see the declaration of the resurrection. We see that Jesus Christ declared to be God. You know, I don't know about you, but as I think of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and you know, I try to look at that and I try to get it in my mind, how can it be one, but there's three. And you know, as I look at that, I just have to what? I have to go back to what I said a while ago. By faith, I believe it. By faith, I believe that he is what? He is God. He is a God. He is the God. And he is the God that we pray to. He is not just I think of the thousands of religions there are today. And I think of these religions as all of the people as they worship to an idol. With us being down in Mexico on the border there of Texas and Mexico, everyone has their shrine. They have Mary. They have Guadalupe. They have all of those and they bow down to those. But you know, as I look at that, I see those people bowing down. And I think to myself, they have no hope. They have no hope in that idol. That hope's not going to do anything. That hope in that idol is not going to do anything for them. But I'm thankful today that I serve a God. I'm thankful today that I serve a God that I know that is alive. I serve a God that I know that is there, and that I can pray to, and I can cry out to. But we see this morning, we see that God declared to be God, but we see also that God declared to be holy. Holy. As I think of holiness, my wife and I, if we have been on the road, we were in Ohio and we were in Iowa and Illinois and all of those states up there. And we went in a lot of the towns that we went through was a lot of the Amish people. And you know, as I rode down through there, I saw these Amish people, and they were all dressed in their outfits, and they didn't have their cars. They didn't have the fancy houses. They didn't have all of the luxuries that we may have. And I looked at them people and I thought to myself, you know, they can look like they're holy. But I asked the question, what about their heart? How is their heart? You know, we can have the outer things. I can have my hair cut nicely. I can have my dress closed down to perfection, but you know, you can't see my heart. Speaking of the heart, I got an extra heart today. Little Corbin came up and gave me that heart. And you don't know who little Corbin is. He gave me that heart. And I asked him, I said, what does that say? Before he can answer it, one of the little girls spoke up. And you know, folks, as I think of that, Jesus loves us. You know, he does love us, folks. He does love us. And you know, as I thought about that, as he gave me that little heart, I thought about people across America, how that their heart may be wicked. And how that we come in contact with people, whether it is the Mennonites, whether it is the whoever they may be, you know, we look at them and we think to ourselves, their life may be perfect. But you know, we're not looking at the outer appearance. We're looking at the outer appearance, but God doesn't look at the outer appearance. He looks at our heart. And he knows what our heart is. You know, folks, I can fool you. I can look pretty. I can look what a Christian should be, but deep down inside, my heart can be wicked. But you know, I'm thankful this morning. I think about there in 1 Peter chapter 1, it says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible thing, as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but what? With the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, we see here this morning, we see that Jesus Christ is he declared to be holy. I'm thankful this morning, folks, that we serve a holy God. I'm thankful this morning that because of the resurrection, we can serve a holy God. It's not just a makeup. It's not just something there. It is a holy God. Then we see also that in Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 18, it says, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. It says that he has the keys of hell and death. We see that Jesus Christ is he declared to be alive. You know, folks, we're alive this morning. Because of the resurrection, we're alive. And you know, as I look at that, I look at as the Lord Jesus Christ, as he sits on the right hand of God there, he ever liveth, and how he makes intercession for the saints. And, I'm thankful this morning because of that. That what? I can be alive. There's times that I may feel dead. There's times that I may feel like giving up. But because of him, I can be alive. And you know, we see that this morning. Because of the promises of the resurrection. In John 14:19, it says, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me, because I live, you shall live also. We see here this morning, because of the eternal hope. There is an eternal hope. There is a hope that, hey, that God is alive. And we see here this morning, because of that, because of the hope that we can what? That we can what? Share the gospel with other people. You know, folks, one of the ladies asked me after the service, after the Sunday school, she said, what can we do to minister to the Spanish people? And I told her, I said, lots of time we can just have a gospel track. We can present them with a gospel track because of our limited communication. And you know, it's amazing, folks, how a smile is universal. As we walk up to someone, if you walk up to them with a frown upon your face, they're going to have nothing to do with you. They don't, because what are they going to, are they here to stab me because I'm here in their country? No, we need to what? We need to have a smile upon our face. So we can what? We can go to them. Not only the Mexican people, the American people in general. We need to what? We need to have that communication. You know, there's many a times, folks, that I come in contact with people. And these people that I come in contact with may not have a thing in common together. But you know, I think of, well, maybe they're a hunter. So let's talk about hunting and what does it do? It opens that door. And you know, then as we get that door open, the communication begins to flow. You begin to have that time of communication, and then we can what? We can share the gospel. Maybe not per se, I tell them you're going to die and go to hell, but just, you know, something about, you know, maybe God is good. You know, how good God has been to you, how he has blessed, how he has used, to be a help to other people. And, you know, through that, what? Through the hope, you can share with them. But we see in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 21, it says, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to the subdue all things unto himself. We think of an eternal body. You know, as I think of the resurrection, we have an eternal body. We that have accepted him as our personal Savior, we have that body that's going to live forever. You know, folks, this morning, I think of people that have went on to be with the Lord. I think of my dad. I think of my grandparents. I think of others that have went on to be with the Lord. I think of their life. You know, my dad, I think of him this morning. I think of him and his life, that here he was, just an old nobody. But you know what? He knew somebody. And he knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of him, he has that eternal body. He has that body that he's going to be able to live for eternity. So we see this morning, we see that because of the resurrection, we can have that eternal body. But then also because of the resurrection, in Jude chapter 1 and verse number 24, says, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before your presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. We see the eternal body, but we see also the eternal joy. The joy of serving the Lord. You know, folks, I get excited sometimes to know that, hey, I get to serve God 24 hours a day. You say, well, that's nice, but you know what? You can too. You can serve him 24 hours a day. You say, well, how do I do that? I have a job. Well, I'm glad we can pray. I'm glad we can cry out to God. We can pray to him and ask him to help us. You know, folks, at our job that we may work, you can be a testimony. And that is something that's important. A very important thing is our testimony. Because our testimony can really mess things up. I was in a church. I was in a church. I was trying to think in New Jersey. There was a young man came up to me. Here he is, maybe early 20s. And he said, I want you to pray for me. Okay, what do you need prayer for? He said, I've started a job at the pizza place. Now, folks, this is a young man. This is in his early 20s. He said, I started a job at the pizza place. And I ask you to pray for me that I would be a witness, a testimony at the pizza place. You say, so what? Just a young kid. So what? He wants to be a witness. But think about it, folks. Our testimony, where we go, will live with us forever. Because I can come in and I can explode. I can destroy my testimony in like that. And what, you know what? The people that know that I'm a Christian, they're going to remember that. They're not going to remember that I witnessed to them. They're not going to remember that I tried to preach to them. They're not going to remember that I tried to do what was right. What are they going to remember? They're going to remember where I exploded. You're a Christian. You're not supposed to do that. But this young man, we see that he what? He had the eternal joy of serving God. Folks, this morning, I ask you the question. As we think of the resurrection, as we think of serving the Lord, how is your life? How is your life serving God? Are you a witness? Are you a testimony? Are you a prayer warrior? I think of all of the older folks here this morning, how God can use them, how God can allow them to be upon their knees. Maybe not on their knees, but there in their chair, wherever, they can pray for the missionaries that you support. All of these names that you have on the list back there, back there on the board, that you support, how that they can pray for each individual one. But you know what else? You can put the pastor at the top of that list, because the pastor needs your prayers as well as the missionaries do. And you know, folks, as we think about that, we think of the eternal body, but we think of the eternal joy. It is a joy to serve God. It is a joy to share the gospel. It is a joy to be around other Christians on a daily basis. I ask you this morning, how is your life? How is your life? Are you living for the Lord? Are you living for Him, trying to be the witness because of the resurrection? Are you just, I'm here? God help us that we would not be a normal church member. God help us that we wouldn't just come in and look for our seat and sit down. We would come in to what? To be fed from the Word of God. We would come in to rejoice with other brothers and sisters. We would come in and want to share with them how good God has been to it. Brother Ron and I were talking a while ago, and we were talking about as we traveled. My wife and I have traveled, I don't know, probably about 5,500 miles since we left home. And, you know, as we have traveled and we've eaten meals and all of this, and you know, we think about the gas prices as they're up here, but I told Brother Ron, I said, you know, one thing I can say is God is good, God is faithful. Why do you say that? Because we haven't went in debt. God has taken care of it. God has met that need. God has allowed His people to be a blessing to us as we serve Him. You know, folks, as I go to the pump and I put that nozzle in, I think of $100 later, I think, oh my, no. I say, okay, God, this is yours. God, you've got us where you want us. So God, it's yours. And you know what? God says, that's okay. And God per se opens that billfold up and He says, here you go. Here's some more. Here's for a hamburger. Here's for something else. Here's an extra blessing. You know, folks, the joy of serving God. Then I may ask the question this morning, are you saved? Has there been a time in your life whenever you've asked God to come in your heart? If you were here for Sunday school, you heard my testimony. A church member, Sunday school teacher. That was me. But lost on my way to hell. But you know what? God said, okay, now it's time. Now it's time for you to get in. And you know what? I got in. Folks, I may not be the best Christian in the world. I may not be the best preacher in the world. But you know what? I just want to serve God. I just want to do what he would have me to do. And you know, whichever way he wants me to turn, I want to be obedient to God. I asked a question this morning, are you saved? Are you saved? Has there been a time in your life whenever you've asked God to come into your heart? You say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. But what if tomorrow never comes? This morning, we got up. There was an ambulance across the street, a couple of houses up. And I thought to myself, what about their life? Did they die? Were they saved? What happened? You know, folks, this morning, time is running out. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what's going to happen today. But I know who holds today. I know who holds tomorrow. Because of the resurrection, because of his love for us, we can what? We can serve him. We can live for him. So I ask you the question, are you saved this morning? As we all stand, has God spoken to your heart this morning? As the pastor comes, has God spoken to your heart this morning?
Just a moment, we're going to ask our accompanists to play a stanza of All to Jesus I Surrender, All to Him I Freely Give. How is it with you? How is it? Are you serving God with all your heart? Number two, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you know that you know that you're saved? Obviously, the Word of God was written with you in mind, that you can know the Lord as your Savior. But once we're saved, if this is all there was to save us, he'd have taken us to heaven right away. But it's for us to invest our lives in faith, serving him. Maybe today is the day that would be wise for you to come and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've never been saved. I'll be here at the front. You can meet me here. We'll have someone show you from the Bible how you can know you're going to heaven. But if you're here and saved, as the preacher preached and really emphasized, what are you doing for eternity? I trust that if God's dealt with your heart, just find a place here at this old-fashioned altar. It's been wet with tears many a time. And I just invite you to come and just say, Lord, I'm surrendering to you today. No matter what it is, if you want me in full-time Christian work, I'll be willing to do that, Lord. I want to be a part of what you're doing in this world. Or, Lord, if it's just to be what you want me to be right here, then I'll do that as well. Will you pray with me, please? Our Father, we thank you for your word that's been presented to us this morning. And Lord, as we think about the resurrection, and we know that you're not in a tomb somewhere in the Judean tomb there in Jerusalem, in the old city of Jerusalem. Lord, you are risen and you're in the right hand of the Father. And Father, we just thank you that today we serve a risen Savior. But Lord, we just don't do that out of just an acknowledgement that it's recorded in the Bible, but we understand that that's our charge, that's our opportunity to take on now what he did while he was here, and then, Father, what we're to do for him because we love him. We ask your blessing then, Father, on this invitation and any decision that needs to be made for salvation, for surrender, for being a part of this ministry. Whatever it is, Lord, we pray that this will be the day that decision is made for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.